Well, there are. I mean, the problem again is that it's very hard to find. You know, it's very hard to find statistics on this because of the nature of it. But I mean, if you look at, say, Rohama, the kind of numbers that they talk about of, you know, their opposition, for instance, to some of the lap dancing clubs and so on, that they would argue that you know, girls have been trafficked in for use in prostitution.
Mm.
So it is a reality. And, you know, even beyond, as I say, it's easy to point the finger at lap dancers and men in Macs or whatever. But there's also, you know, numbers of people who have been employed in private homes, you know, working domestically. Now, they wouldn't be slaves, but people aren't affording them the same kind of rights that they would expect for their own children.
And even the story of the people who are working on the ship being paid less than minimum wage.
It goes further than that. I mean, you can see, say, SIP2 action and so on behalf of people working on the building sites, and wage has been withheld there. And that's why, as I say, it's part of the human condition, really. And all the celebration of slave trade in some ways detracted attention from that, about the reality of slavery today.
And yet, if it's part of the human condition, how can we overcome it?
Well, I mean, that's just
the million-dollar question.
In a sense, what it demands is it demands people going against these, I suppose, I mean, to put it kind of very crudely, but kind of base instincts that we have, you know. And I mean, society works on that we surrender our individual rights for the good of the commonwealth, or the good of society. And that's what the whole kind of republican ideology is about, really, isn't it? The welfare of everybody in the community. Mm. And I suppose from a religious perspective, a Christian perspective, you can see again, as I say, the slavery, am I not a brother like you? There's the whole kind of Christian imperative there to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, as I say, that sounds like a sermon, but historically you can see, and that was the whole importance of the slave trade. And it's not coincidental that so many of the Quakers and the kind of evangelical Christians embraced the cause of slavery, because they saw it as a radical commitment to the gospel.
Yeah.
And even I'm working myself on a biography of Edmund Rice, the founder of the Christian Brothers, and there's a lovely story about him as a merchant in Cork, or in Waterford rather, that one day he saw a black boy as a slave on a ship in Waterford, and he bought the boy and freed him and gave him to the Presentation Sisters to look after. And that was like a decade in advance of the abolition of slave trade. But that became a metaphor for the kind of liberation that he tried to bring through education.
Mm, because he was very involved with educating people and trying to raise them up from that point of view.
But again, as I say, that's a kind of an empathy with the slave as a brother, again, working from his Christian perspective.
And what about, though, I mean, on a day-to-day basis? I mean, if I'm not particularly in contact with anyone I feel is being abused or treated like a slave, how can I be sure that my daily actions aren't, you know, contributing to it? I mean, a lot of people point to things like sweatshops and...
Yeah, well, I mean, the practical details, I mean, if you've got the fair trade label, for instance, again, is a practical way of committing to a service. But that involves paying more for products. And you wondered, are people able, or are they willing to pay more necessarily for products? But there are ways around that with kind of ethical commerce and so on. And I mean, if you just kind of even Google them, you'll find them. And then there's an Irish connection to the oldest NGO in the world, apparently, is Anti-Slavery International. And they have a very interesting website with all kinds of practical details about that. But the CEO of Anti-Slavery International, which is based in London, is an Irish guy, a Newry man called Aidan McQuaid. But it's worth looking, as I say, at that website.
Mm.
And even, say, Troker or other agencies here, or Amnesty, again, to look at their websites and just to see the lessons there.
Yeah, and what would you like to see happening? What would you like to see happening in Ireland and abroad generally?
Well, I think that I'm in the history department in St. Pat's, and I mean, we would have a very big education department that a lot of the national school teachers in the country are actually educated in the college. And the college has founded this Centre for Human Rights Education. And I think that people have identified the need for education, and kind of the need for particularly development education, that we don't see this as a charity. You know, like fair trade products are not a charity. It's really not,
it's just
not
basic
an option,
human rights,
an imperative there. And children need to be educated into that kind of mindset. And I think through education is a very practical way of doing it.